If you wish to follow along, turn to the prophet Isaiah, chapter 50. Isaiah chapter 50. I have just two verses to read this morning as a text. Isaiah chapter 50. Follow along as we read the last two verses of that chapter. Isaiah chapter 50, beginning in verse 10. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? Automatically, it starts out on a positive note, does it not?
Yeah.
But look at this amazing stuff. That walketh in darkness and hath no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks, walk in the light of your fire. And that's the way you ought to say that. Walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that ye have kindled. This shall ye have of my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. What a tremendous passage. Just what we have is two short verses, two or three short sentences. And yet, what tremendous warning we are given here, but even more than that, what tremendous encouragement we are given here. Given to all who fear God and obey God's servant. And who is that? That is none other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Isaiah's already spoke of this servant preceding.
Yeah.
Great encouragement. Great encouragement, especially in our darkest times. Our darkest times. My subject and my title this morning is this: Trust God's Name and Stay Upon Him.
Amen.
Consider this. Let me just kind of squash this bug right off the beginning. It's a bug that's out there that's infested almost all of professed Christianity. That somehow this passage here that Isaiah is talking about is about an unregenerate person that truly is worshiping God but doesn't have any gospel light yet. That is just not so.
Yeah.
I'm not here to argue this. Let me put it this way. All the worship of the unregenerate is idolatry.
You're right. Amen.
A man or a woman who is unregenerate, any worship they set forth is idolatry. And not only is it idolatry, it is antichrist when it names his name but does not worship him in his true character.
Amen.
Antichrist is this. A lot of people talk looking for a single person. John said Antichrist already in the world. That was 2,000 years ago.
Yes, sir.
He didn't say the Spirit. That's interpolated.
Yeah.
The message of Antichrist has been there even then. Here is that message. The message of Antichrist is they will use the name of Christ, but they actually worship man's will, man's works, and man's worth.
That's right.
That's Antichrist.
Amen.
Now, there are those who deny Christ altogether. They are not specifically those spoken of as Antichrist. Antichrist is that which sets himself up in the temple of God. And remember who's talking there. Paul is talking, and if you look at Paul's writings, every time he uses the word temple, what's he speaking of?
Yeah.
Not that edifice that used to exist, or some edifice that will exist again, but the church of the living God.
Yeah.
He said, ye are. Yeah. The what? The temple.
That's what he said.
Of God. Go back and look at it sometime for yourself.
Yeah.
Antichrist religion. Antichrist religion is that which uses the name of Christ, but worships man.
Exactly.
Man's, whether it's man's will, man's works, man's worth, or a compilation of any of those three things, rather than worshiping Christ's will. Christ's work.
Yes.
The one primary work, the work of redemption.
Yeah.
And Christ's worth. Oh, what great worth He is.
Amen.
Do not be deceived by false Christianity, Antichrist Christianity. I know that may be an oxymoron, but that's actually what the way this book teaches it.
Oh, yeah.
Antichrist Christianity. Do not be deceived by their facade. They stand in their pulpits and they sit in their pews on Sundays and smile and worship God. Put that in quotes. And then they murmur and bellyache and complain against the will of God.
Amen. You're right.
They upcry man's will.
Yeah.
And they put down God's will.
That's
in
right.
Here.
Yeah.
In here. Ah, but the regenerate, on the other hand, the God-fearer, that's what it's talking about here.
Yes, sir.
Who is among you that feareth the Lord?
Amen.
And let me just say this. Feareth Him in every way. In every way. Great reverence? Yes, great reverence. But Christ also told the disciples, you fear God that can destroy body and soul in hell.
That's what I said. Amen.
The regenerate, on the other hand, that is the God-fearer, the believer in Christ. That's who this is talking about right here. Is who is among you that feareth the Lord? And here's where it manifests this itself, this fear of the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant.
Amen.
Paul calls it obedience to the faith.
Yes.
Obedience to the faith. Obedience to the faith is not obedience to a certain set of doctrines.
Yeah.
Though there are certain doctrines God's people believe. It's obedience to who? The voice of the servant.
Yes, sir.
The voice of God's servant. And though this is true, though we fear Him. And Joe, we obey Him. By faith and in faith. We obey Him, yet we are constantly reminded of our inner corruption.
Yes, sir.
Our inner corruption. And that can bring a heavy darkness upon the soul. You ever been just driving down? I've been driving down the road before listening to a sermon and just began to feel my own inner uncleanness so much that it puts me in despair. You ever been there? You ever been there? Sometimes I'm constantly reminded by my poor choices. Sometimes this darkness comes upon us because of our poor choices.
Exactly.
Let us never think we've risen above making poor choices.
There you go. You're right.
If it wasn't for God working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure, we'd never will and do His good pleasure.
Amen.
At all.
Amen.
At all. So we're constantly reminded of our inner corruption. We're constantly reminded of our poor choices. We're constantly reminded of our weaknesses and frailties.
Yes, sir.
And those things are not necessarily held in degradation by God, because even our Lord was a man of what? Weakness. Hmm? Sorrows. Acquainted with what? Grief.
Yes, sir.
Grief.
And
yet what we do, we hid, as it were, our faces from Him.
Yes, sir.
How bad we are. But weakness, this weaknesses. You remember the disciples in the garden? Go over there and pray.
Yeah.
Christ, well, they're here praying. He says, you stay here and pray. I won't go over there for a while.
That's right.
They fell asleep.
Yeah.
And so do we.
Exactly.
You know what? Because your body gives out after a while.
Yes, sir.
It just gives out after a while.
Yeah.
And on top of that, pressing.
Mm-hmm.
And I could use all kinds of words just to describe pressing. I'm talking about pressing, like you take grapes in a wine press, squeeze the meat and juice into pulp, and wring the juice out of those grapes. Pressing circumstances. We experience what I am calling here, and I think this is what Isaiah is talking about, spiritual melancholies. Don't we? Where there are, even when we're fearing God and obeying the voice of His servant, yet we're walking in darkness. I don't know what this is all about. I don't know why this. Even Joe, we know all things work together for good, but I don't know how.
Exactly. That's it.
I don't know how. I know it is, but I don't see how. But I know it is. That's a darkness.
Yes, it is.
Oh, and of course, we're still so religious, we even make up sins to accuse ourselves of. And we feel pretty shameful about it. Unless this book specifically forbids something, let it go.
There you go.
Let it go. And yet we don't. We hang on to that thing and either feel pretty good about ourselves or just constantly down because we think about it so much. These spiritual melancholies Isaiah describes here as darkness with no light. He's not talking about the same thing John is in 1 John 1 where the man says, he says he walks in light but walks in darkness. He lies and does not the truth. They're talking about two totally separate things.
Right.
This ain't talking about a backslidden Christian. This is, who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light. Ever been there? If you're not there right now, if you haven't been there, you will be if you live long enough. Something will happen that will bring you into darkness.
Yes,
and you, even though you might, you know it ain't a why me. I mean,
yeah.
You may say it, but you know you shouldn't be thinking those thoughts.
Yeah.
But you think, why, God?
Yeah.
Just why? Why? God help us to never seek our own light. Isn't that what it says right here?
Yeah.
When God puts you in that dark place, don't go looking for your own light. That will do you no good at all. Well, I've got to make this better. Ever tried that? I've tried that. I've tried to kindle my own fire, set my own sparks, and all it does is burn you.
Exactly.
It burns you. As he says here, you'll lie down. How? In sorrow.
Exactly.
And I say the intent of the word here, God has sovereign purpose. He didn't have just intent. But the intent of the word here is to encourage us. One, when you find yourself, are you a fearer of God? Do you obey the voice of His servant, yet you find yourself presently walking in darkness and having no light? Don't try to kindle your own fire.
There you go. Amen.
Bow down under God.
Amen.
Because as Paul confesses, we don't even know what to pray for as we ought. Because we know we ought to pray for Thy will be done,
Amen.
Not mine. But we know what we want. We know what we'd like to see. And John says, make your petitions known before Him.
Yes, sir.
Make your petitions known. But oh, God, help us not to try to kindle our own fire. But rather, in the midst of the darkness. You see, it's not even about the darkness being lifted. Who is among you that feareth the Lord? That obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him, while this is going on,
yeah.
Do you see what he's saying? Let him trust in the name of the Lord. And right while you're in darkness and you got no light, stay upon his God.
Amen.
That, my brothers and sisters, is a tall order. But it is, possible is not the word. It is our experience by the grace of God when God Almighty brings us low into the dust.
Yeah.
To that place, Ellen, to where you cannot but look up to Him. He doesn't put your face down there. You know what I'm talking about. There's times where sometimes my prayers are just so practiced.
Yeah.
I say the same thing over and over like a blessed heathen.
Yeah.
Every evening before I go to bed or in the morning when I wake up or while I'm driving to work and I find myself praying the same old rote prayer.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You ever been there? Been there where your heart just feels so cold.
Yeah.
So cold. You can hear the Word of God and you know there's rich blessing there, but it's like it's not hitting me today. It's not hitting me today. When your mind wanders. You'll be sitting and reading the Word of God and then in a flash find yourself thinking about some ungodly, frivolous thing. Ever been there? be hearing preaching, hearing gospel preaching. And next thing you know, you forgot where the preacher's at, and you're sitting there thinking in your own mind about something stupid. That's a dark place. It's kind of startling when that happens to you.
Yes, sir.
Sadly, I get startled a lot. Startled a lot. As I said, sometimes this happens because of our poor choices. Yes, it does.
Yes, sir.
But not always.
Exactly.
Because, in fact, everything we do is fraught with some poor choice on our part.
Exactly.
Even when God's working in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Remember that verse? There's not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not.
Amen.
Even when God's moving us to do what He's ordained for us to do, Mason, it's still shot full of hell because I'm involved in it.
There you go.
I'm still involved. If it's not for the blood of Christ, I'd go to hell for it.
Amen.
God doesn't save us by working in us both the will and the do.
Right.
He works in us the will and the do because He has saved us by Jesus Christ,
yeah.
His
Amen.
Son.
Yeah.
Our poor choices, but it's not always. What poor choice did Job make? There are none recorded.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, you're right.
As a matter of fact, God said, He's the man that fears me. He eschews, He avoids evil.
Yeah.
And yet the world turned upside down for that man in a day or two.
Yes,
didn't
sir.
It?
Exactly.
Lost everything. And animals and stuff, that's one thing. But servants?
Mm-hmm.
Sons and daughters?
Yes,
all of them. And in the end, he's sitting there filled with boils. And his wife says, curse God and die. You still maintain your integrity? You still conduct yourself like a God-fearer? That's what she's talking about.
Yeah.
You still conduct yourself like one that believes in God? Why don't you just curse God and die? That's a tough place to be in.
Yes, sir.
Tough place to be in. But there's at least, now there may be some others. And you know this, but let me remind you of it. There's at least one reason why this is so, why this happens. Now turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. There's at least one reason why these dark places, no light, why it happens. Look what Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll begin in verse 8 for the sake of time. For we would not, brethren, have you to be ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. But notice he doesn't name the trouble. Now, I believe, now this is my take on that. This is my take here. There's one reason why I believe so. Because we're so prone, if Paul would have told us his specific trouble or the troubles that came, we would have said, well, I've not been there. It don't apply to me. But no matter what trouble you're in, this is the point. Because the point's not the trouble itself. The point is trouble.
That's right.
Do you get what I'm saying? Because we're so prone to compartmentalize everything. Try to get it all theologically lined out. But we have the sentence of death in it. Verse 8. But we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Notice, came to you. It's almost like a lie sneaking up on you.
Exactly.
Which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure. No, not out of measure for God, but out of measure for Paul.
There you go.
It's out of my reach. I couldn't deal with it. I couldn't fix this thing.
There
you see what you're saying? That we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired. What a believer, an apostle despairing, that's what he says, does he not? And we despaired even of life. But Paul, don't you know your life's in God's hands? Yes, but it still doesn't make it any less real.
Exactly.
Does it? Even of life. But look, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that. Now we're going to see one reason, at least why. Why does this trouble like this come? To such degree, pressing above strength, insomuch that you may be in despair of life, that we should not trust in ourselves.
Yeah.
Don't kindle your own fire. That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead. Mason, He raised me out of spiritual death.
Yes, sir.
And I experienced that.
That's right.
Now, we don't look back to a time or a day, but we do look back to what God Almighty did when He laid hold of us and brought us out of that horrid pit.
Yes, sir.
You remember that day? Remember that time, that season? You remember what I'm saying?
Yeah.
When all of a sudden, maybe even then, if you can recollect by God's Spirit, and you look back and you realize this. Somebody says, well, What about Jesus Christ? And you fail for words to truly be able to describe him. But you know this. One time I was blind. But bless God, now I see.
Yes, sir.
I see. And you remember that blind man? He didn't see everything clearly right at first, did he?
Yeah.
He said, I see men walking as trees. Walking as trees. Here's why this trouble comes. No matter what it is. But that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us. That's what I was just talking about. From so great a death. And doth deliver. In whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And know this. Our actions toward and for one another matter too. Ye also helping together by prayer for us. That's how important prayer is. How does it work? Doesn't matter how it all works. God says, this is the way it pleases me.
Amen.
Engage in it. Engage in it. Oh, let us see the true comfort. Think about this. Let me just read this to you. I don't have to. There's just one part of a verse, and Job was responding to his three friends in Job chapter 6. And just this one part of it. And you remember, Job's friends were giving him a what for.
Oh, yeah.
They were giving him a what for. But look at verse 14. Job 6 and verse 14. To him that is afflicted, pity should be showed from his friends.
Yes, sir.
You see it? Oh, God, help me to pity my brothers and sisters when they're in trouble, rather than backbiting about them and talking about them. And you say, that don't happen. It happens from us all the time. Right. Well, if. And we usually put an I in there.
Uh-huh.
You ever done that? Well, if I. I find myself, Mason, thinking it a whole lot more than I say it. Because I'm ashamed to let that out. That I'm thinking. But, well, if that was me, I'd do this. You ever thought that way? Uh-huh. No. You and I do not know why our brothers and sisters are going through everything they're going through.
Exactly.
It may be poor choices, but who hasn't made them?
That's right.
Who hasn't made them?
Yeah.
But even more than this, let us be careful we don't point at a brother and sister. And God says even to Satan, you take your hands off. You touch him as far as I let you. God didn't tell us to touch him at all. What should we do? Show pity.
Yes.
But that's not the main thing. Yes, sir. It's nice to be pitied by someone else, but that doesn't take the darkness away, does it?
Right.
That doesn't even comfort you in the darkness itself.
Right.
Now, this is a philosophical thing. People say misery loves company. That may or may not be true. I think it depends upon the person. But that's philosophy. I'll tell you one thing that misery does like. Sometimes it's good just to shut your mouth and listen.
You're right.
Don't be trying to give advice. Just pity. You see, sometimes people just need to express themselves. And sometimes maybe they just don't want anything said. Sometimes. But, again, that's not where we're told to trust.
That's right.
Is in the pity of our friends, is it?
Exactly.
Now let us do that. Oh, God, help us to do that. But that's not the main thing. What does it say? Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay. It's kind of like leaning. And maybe even holding on a little bit, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Stay upon his God. Here's where it's at. Our God is in charge. Manipulating circumstances. Even circumstances that affect me. By his own sovereign purpose. We always know that. But not being able to grasp the depth and breadth and height of all these things sometimes puts you in that dark place, don't it? But remember what the psalmist said. Let me read these to you. Just a couple passages from the Psalms. Psalm chapter 32, verse 4, for day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. Mason, this is not a cry of bitterness, but an acknowledging of the truth of God's absolute sovereignty, even in my everyday life. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. That's this dark place that Isaiah was talking about. And then he says, stop and think about this a while. Stop and think about this a while. Psalm chapter 66. Listen to what the psalmist writes there. Psalms chapter 66 and verses 10 and 11. For thou, O God, hast proved us. Thou hast tried us as silver is tried.
Yeah.
Look, thou broughtest us into the net. Thou laidest affliction upon our loins. Thou hast caused men to ride over our heads when we went through fire and through water, but thou broughtest us out into a wealthy place.
Amen.
You see that? A wealthy place. Right there's what Isaiah's talking about. That wealthy place.
Yes, sir.
That's the thing that'll sustain you, is that wealthy place. And that wealthy place is declared to be here none other than God Himself.
Amen.
You see it? God Himself. Our God is that wealthy place. Look at it. Who is among you that feareth the Lord and obeyeth the voice of the servant? And yet, we could put that in. It's valid. And yet, walks in darkness and has no light. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Now, do not be deceived by the false Christianity that's all around you. Because the false Christianity all around you says, God's names, and this is the way they'll say it, God's names speak of what God can do for us. Now, he may do something for you, but he may not do something for you.
Amen.
He may leave you in that dark place for a while.
You're right.
No, his name describes who he is to us.
Amen.
You see, I love my wife, and she's beautiful to me, not because of the clothes she wears. It's her.
There you go.
Now, if there's a specific outfit that she wears that I think that she really just looks radiant in, if you ever see me sitting in my house with just that outfit beside me, kissing on it and loving on it, then you know what time to be off to the funny part.
There you go.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying? It's what's inside that outfit that makes the difference.
Exactly.
And her being mine, sometimes Joe comforts me more than anything else in this world. Do you understand what I'm talking about? It's not what God can do. Oh, God, get me out of this. Cry for that if that's what you desire. But we must bow to God's sovereign will, whatever it is.
That's right.
And remember, He is our wealthy place. It wasn't the tribe of Dan, and maybe that wasn't the place they come from. You can go back and check it. Where they brought those great big lump of grapes. Remember that?
Yeah.
It's not that land. What does that land do? It shows us exactly what the church is today. All one nation, one people, divided by God's own hand to deal with things, some over here, some over there, in their own particular place. Is that not what Paul teaches us in the New Testament? Huh? That's the way it is. There's nothing new under the sun.
Exactly.
The Old Testament is not just some mystical thing we got to find out the secrets of. It's teaching us the truth of the person and work of Jesus Christ all throughout that Old Testament. Our God is that wealthy place. Note, as I said, it's name, not names. Now, when I mentioned that, did you start to think, which name is it talking about? Did you think that? I did when I first read. Well, which one is it? No, wait a minute. This same prophet, turn back to chapter 9. You see, our mind wants to, natural thought never gets you to the truth of God.
There you go. That's right.
Isaiah chapter 9. Now, before I read it, when someone asks me what my name is, what do I usually say? Walter Pendleton. That's not my name, Mason. That's my name.
Amen.
Walter, to be specific, Walter Anthony Pendleton. That's my name, not my names, right? Because my name, Walter Anthony Pendleton, is the whole me.
There you go.
You see what I'm saying? I'm not just Walter. I'm Walter Anthony. I'm just not just Walter Anthony. I'm Walter Anthony Pendleton. That describes me. That's my name. Now look at what the prophet says. Isaiah 9 and verse 6. For unto us a child is born.
Yes.
A child was born. A child came into existence that was not in existence before.
That's right.
Unto us a son is given. You see it? He was all... Mason, before he was the child born, he was still the son.
Amen.
He was already the son.
Amen.
Unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. In other words, who rules over everything?
Exactly.
Who makes the rules, the laws of nature, or whatever they might be, Mason? Who is it? This man.
Amen.
This child born, this son given. The government shall be where? On his shoulders. Look, and his name.
Amen.
You see it? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. Wait a minute, I thought that's two names. No, this is one name. Jehovah Jireh, that's still one name.
That's right.
All of it, you said Jehovah Shalom, all of it. Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Not the Lord will just give me righteousness. He is my righteousness.
Amen.
He is my wealthy place.
Yes.
You see it? His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Even when I'm in turmoil, He's still my peace.
Amen.
You see it?
Right.
Still my peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, no end.
Amen.
In other words, what He is to me will never fail to me.
Amen.
You see it? Mason, even especially when I'm in that dark place.
Yeah.
When I have no light. When I'm despairing, maybe even of life, miserable in my circumstances, I can still rejoice in Him. And Joe, by His grace, I found myself doing that. Doing that. I've had a couple things happen in my life, and we ain't going to go into the details, but I thought this, God's going to expose me for what I really am now. You ever felt that way? Huh? God's going to expose me for what? Well, the people that already knew what I really was. And the people that didn't really know me probably knew me better than they even thought they did. Yeah. Huh? I'm a worm. Even as Paul, writing, being inspired of the Spirit of God, and still cries out, "O wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me?"
Yeah.
Not a what?
Yeah.
Who shall deliver me? A person shall deliver me.
Amen.
I thank God. Jesus Christ. Our Lord. Of the increase of His government of peace there shall be to Him upon the throne of David. Now what's that? He rules over God's people specifically.
Yes, sir.
Now, David ruled over all. He conquered people all around him, did he not?
Yes,
but who was he king over?
Yeah.
And king for?
There you go.
God's people.
Amen.
God's people. And His kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice. And let me tell you something. Everything God's doing to you is just.
Yes, sir.
And everything God's doing to you is a judgment of some sort of another.
Yeah.
Whether against your character, or against the world in which you live, or to refine you like silver.
Yeah.
And force your face in the dust to where you don't trust in yourself, but you trust in God. Now that's the difference between an unregenerate man and a regenerate man. An unregenerate man can worship, but he worships falsely. And when God brings him down, it'll turn him from God. He'll get mad at God, despise God, hate God, run from God, say, "If this is God, I won't serve Him." God's people says, "This is God. And this hurts.
Yes, sir.
I don't understand it, but I believe Him.
Amen.
I trust Him, even though I can't make sense of it. And I trust Him for who He is. He's wonderful to me. He's my counselor. He's my mighty God. He's my everlasting Father. He is my Prince of Peace." Isn't it good? Name. Let it trust in the name of the Lord. Why? Because He's all of that all the time
yes.
to me.
Yes,
in all of those different descriptions that the book calls his name.
Amen.
But isn't it amazing? You get to the New Testament and then we find this name centralized.
Yes, sir.
Don't we? In the child born and the son given, to where Peter said in Acts 4, verse 12, very popular verse, neither is there salvation, whatever kind of salvation.
Yeah.
Whatever. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there's none other name given amongst men under heaven whereby we must be saved. And that name, Paul goes on to say in Philippians 2, verses 9 through 11, it's the reason he died under the judgment of God. He humbled himself and became obedient unto God, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Amen.
To the glory of God the Father. Now, Mason, all of those descriptive things that are his name are now all centralized in the one man God had his mind on and love set on from all eternity.
Amen.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Lord. There's the one that you trust.
Amen.
Even when you're walking in darkness.
Exactly.
And you have no light. That's the one you stay upon. Well, he is. Look at it. And stay upon his God. That implies a joint ownership.
Yeah.
I am his, Joe. But what did Solomon say? He is mine too.
Amen.
See, he is that wealthy place.
Amen.
I can't tell you we're going to get all we want. But we pray for it.
There you go.
We pray for it. But oh God, help us to know you are our wealthy place.
Amen.
Isn't that it?
Yes,
what would be heaven if we just remained like this for eternity?
Exactly.
And what would be heaven if we get there, Joe, and the one who redeemed us from it never reveals himself and comes up and raises his arms around you and gives you a hug and said, I told you I loved you before the world began.
That's right.
I told you I'd get you here with me. And isn't that what he said? I go to prepare a place. Why? For the place's sake? No. I'm going to come back and get you and you're going to be with me. And Paul, when he talks about his glorious second advent, when he comes, he says, comfort one another with these words. What words? And so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Amen.
Oh, God, help me to walk in that light. And even when I'm walking in darkness and have no light on the other side, that'll be enough light.
Amen.
Do you agree? That'll be enough light. In my darkest times, Christ is still all to me. Isn't that what Paul said, Colossians 2? Whether it's your believing unto salvation, whether it's your walk, he said, walk ye in him.
Yes, sir.
Don't be spoiled by philosophy away from who? Him. Why? Because in him dwells the fullness of the Godhead bodily.
Amen.
Mason, he is someone that in his condescension, he could be touched. John said, we handled the word of life.
Amen.
Handled God's hands, God's feet. Huh? John could lay upon God's breast. Huh? In him is all dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him.
Amen.
Isn't that close? Oh, God, help me to realize that. I forget it all too often. And I get my eyes on the circumstances rather than on him. So let me read it one last time. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? I know some of you are there. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. Amen. Father, teach us these things. We know that tribulation works patience. And God, I'm not good at tribulation. But you're sufficient. Our sufficiency doesn't come from us. Oh, God, help us not to kindle our own fire and set our own sparks, but to be patient and wait upon thee. In Christ's name, amen.